Shalom. This is the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Today we will be revisiting Sister Billy's classic series on the Book of Daniel. So get your Bible and your notebook as we study the living Word of God.
Daniel chapter 10 and about four lines up. You now could read this yourself. It says the moed was long. The appointed time was long. And down in verse 14 we see, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, the Jews. He had gone particularly about the Jews in the latter days. For the moed, or for the vision, is for many days. The moed of Daniel, the point of it, the point, even as we see in the last chapter, the fullness of the revelation of Daniel, there's an appointed time for that. One of the moeds of God is the revelation of Daniel to us, and that's the last days. And what things will be happening in the last days. So we know where we are because of the moed of Daniel, and we've been called to a holy convocation at the moed. This is really shouting ground if you want to know it. Bless the Lord. And you've agreed to go upon a fast. Brother Hagin says fasting doesn't change God, it changes you. And I'm telling you, we need some changing in this world we live in so that we can hear from Him. What he's saying to us. And so I know that's what's happening to many of you. And I'm going to join you on your fast. And as we hear from him this week, we're going to do just exactly what he's asked us to do. We're going to meet and listen to him. Now, this is the Hebrew Bible, and it is divided into three parts, the law, the Torah, the prophets, the propheticos, and the writings. I'll tell you later why the Jews don't pay too much attention to the book of Daniel, but we'll not get into that today. But I just want you to know that he is a prophet, and I want to hear what Peter said about the propheticos and the Word of God. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a very prophetic passage. We have tapes back on our book table called In These Last Days. And if you know how to interpret the book of this book, you can tell from Peter when Jesus is coming. And we don't have time to go into that, but what Peter's doing right here in these scriptures that I'm going to bring to you now, he's calling them to the written word of God, the propheticos, the prophets. When the New Testament, of course, was written in Greek, someone asked me the other day in a letter to our office why, and it's because God was going to deal with the Gentile world and their trade language was Greek. And so he put it in a language they could understand. And in this language, the word for prophets is the propheticos. And what he's talking about exactly here is the written word of God, the propheticos. And he's just explained to them that they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration the great glory of God, and they heard his voice say that Jesus was his son. And we'll begin with verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But we have a more sure word of propheticos. We've got something more sure. We've got the written word of God. Think of it. God wrote down his thoughts on paper. And he said the sureness of it all concerning the Messiah is what's written in the propheticos. And so in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of propheticos, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now, look at the end of verse 19, that little phrase, in your hearts. We know that that phrase doesn't belong there. Some people put it with the next verse, in your hearts, knowing, and some put it here. I'm going to read it like that. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, propheticos, the written word, whereunto you do well that you take heed in your heart as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. Some people read it like this, in your hearts knowing this first, that no propheticos of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the propheticos came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, moved by the Holy Ghost. He's going to tell them, he's going to prophesy to them in chapter 3 about the coming of the Lord and the promise of his coming. And so he says, I'm going to take you to the scriptures. If you know how to interpret it, you're going to see that he's exactly taking them to Hosea and the writings of Hosea. But he calls it the written, sure word of the propheticos. It's a sure word, and it's like a light shining in the dark until that day star comes. And this is exactly a prophecy of the Old Testament. The day star will arise with the scepter. In other words, until the kingdom comes that the Messiah sets up on the earth, you're to use the propheticos, you're to use the prophecy of the Word of God as a light to you. It's dark in this world of the future. No one knows what's out there, but we have a sure word what's out there. We've got the light of the Scriptures. I've gone down, checked out at the supermarket, and I see the Inquirer and the Star and the Globe, and they often have, because it's a seller, predictions. Gene Dixon predicts. The psychics predict. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. People want to know what's out there. Well, who's got the light? We do. We have the propheticos. We have the light of the Scriptures. But we cannot ignore that light of the Scriptures. I think it's a very wrong thing to do. I think it's a wrong thing not to share with our young people what's out there. Because this world's pretty dark, you know. A lot of dark things are happening. And the high schools that they go to are different than the ones we went to, because it's dark and getting darker. The Bible says to us in the New Testament, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. And it is happening. And if you did not have the light of the Word of God, how'd you like to be a young person out there? I might get on drugs too. If my neighborhood, all these horrible things were going on. I think probably that if I were not a believer and did not know the Word of God, I would be an alcoholic. Because you would have to have some kind of escape from all this darkness. But the Bible tells us we've got a light shining in the dark place, a sure word of the propheticos, these Scriptures that were given by God moving on the holy men of old, and we cannot ignore them. We must not ignore them to our young people. The Baptists advertised out in California a few years back, a certain church, small church, that they were going to teach on the book of Revelation every Sunday night. That place was packed out by young people. They had to go to bigger and bigger and bigger churches because they want to know. And it's been kind of an attitude in our churches. Oh, the book of Revelation, they make jokes about it. Ha ha ha, the book of Revelation. I think that's the silliest thing to do, because the book of Revelation is the one book that says if you read it, you're going to get blessed. Why go against the Word of God? The revealed will of God is that we read that book and get a blessing, and that we have some light as to what's going to happen in the future. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, when it's speaking to us and speaking about last day things, it says, you are not the children of darkness that day should come upon you unawares. You're the children of the light. Walk in the light. Pray. Be sober. Watch and pray. Be used of God. I'm telling you, there's some folk out there during the Gulf War, our churches got full. And our church, I was preaching on the Gulf War, and we have it out there, the judgment side of harvest, telling exactly what the Bible says about some of those nations that were involved in the war. And people want to know, and they have a right to know. And if they're going to come to the light, they're going to have to come to the Word of God, and we should be the ones who understand the Word of God, be able to help them. God placed His very name and reputation and His credentials for being God as He tells the future before it happens. And so turn with us to Isaiah chapter 41. I love these chapters. I love the way God talks about Himself. He's not mealy-mouthed about it either. His claim to be God. You'll enjoy if you'll just read these three chapters. A few chapters here starting with Isaiah 41, 42, 43. And pay particular note to who He says He's writing to. Here in Isaiah 41, we shall begin with verse 8, and you can see that he is addressing Israel, even Jacob, which is the natural seed. But thou, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. Unless you want to be reduced to zero, don't attack Israel with your mouth or with your guns. Now, they're God's people. He's dealing with them. They did not fully obey him. He dispersed them in the earth. But he says to them, I'm going to be with you out there. And he says, all those who bother you, they're going to have to deal with me. And then on that line down in verse 20, he calls himself, the end of verse 20, the Holy One of Israel hath created it. And he says to these islands and to these others, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Who? These people out there who are contending with Israel all along. These people of the world who are attempting to solve the problems in Jerusalem. And we're going to get right down to what's happening in Jerusalem before this week. And what about that tunnel business? It's right up to date, this book. And all those people who are bothering themselves and saying, oh, the Bible's just a myth. He says, let them, verse 22, bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things were to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. He says, if you can really tell what's going to happen out there in the future, then we'll know you're God. He's the only one who does. And he dares to write it in the book. I'm sure that the demons of hell have been studying the book of Daniel for a long time. But he dares to write what's going to happen. He knows the beginning from the end, and he says that is the criteria for being God. Now we go down to verse 26, because he hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, that we may say, he is righteous. Bless the Lord. Now, verse 8 of the next chapter. I am Jehovah, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Idols don't know what's out there. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth,
Thank you for listening to today's radio message. The classic study series by Dr. Billy Brim entitled Daniel is now available in an 11 CD series for a special radio offer of $55 plus shipping. You can order in three ways: on the internet website at www.billybrim.org, or by calling our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. For meeting and ministry information, please call our ministry offices at 417-336-4877. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom!